Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Come on. Come on, that's why we're here today, right? To celebrate Jesus and to celebrate Easter, to celebrate His resurrection. Let me just tell you, I'm excited you're here. This is one of my favorite holidays because of the meaning of it. It means that God gave His Son and conquered death for us. So I'm excited you're here. If you're a first-time guest, you could not have picked a better Sunday. Not only are we celebrating Easter, but at the end of the service, we're also going to be celebrating those who've made a decision to accept everything that He said Jesus is and everything that Jesus promised to be. Those who accepted Jesus and made a commitment to Him, and we're going to celebrate with baptism. And we celebrate loud with baptism. So we're screaming a couple times already here. But get ready, when we baptize people, when they come out of the water, I want like ears to hurt. Like we scream really, really loud. So if you're a first-time guest and that's a little weird, get ready. It's going to be amazing and it'll be fun and it's going to be exciting. So we're pumped you're here. Do want to invite you back next week. Next week we are actually starting a brand new sermon series entitled Seven. And obviously today we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, but Jesus did some incredible things as well when He was here on this earth and the work of His ministry. And the book of John has a number of different miracles that He did. And we're going to celebrate and we're going to look at those. And we're going to look at the seven miracles that are kind of pointed out in John. And we're going to look at how they apply to our lives. So I challenge you to come back next week. But today we're jumping into a message that's entitled Empty. We're going to have this message entitled Empty. But when you think of empty, what do you think of, right? When you think of empty, you're probably, if you're a pessimist, you're probably thinking of like a glass that's half empty, right? Some of us, you're probably thinking like, my wallet is completely empty, right? Like, I can't believe ham cost that much. Not only is my wallet empty, my bank account's empty now too. And now the fact I said ham, somebody's stomach is grumbling, so your stomach is now empty, right? You're thinking through this, I'm like, man, it's crazy. And many of us, we probably experienced a lot of emptiness in our life. We may have even had an empty gas tank before. Has anybody ever run out of gas? Anybody ever had an empty gas tank and you ran out of gas, all right? Okay, I'm going to share my experience with an empty gas tank. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you what kind of person I am. I'm the type of person who like fills their gas tank up early now. Like when it's a half tank or a quarter of the tank is really my reminder to get a tank of gas. So I want to know just kind of who's with me. If you are like, I fill my gas tank up kind of early, kind of before it really gets too bad, like maybe a quarter of a tank or half a tank or whatever, raise your hand and tell me who that is, right? Okay, we have some responsible people in the service today. Thank you. Now I'm going to call everybody else out, right? How many of you are like, you wait till the light is on, and not only that, you wait till it like says 10 miles to empty. You're like just running on fumes, right? Raise your hand and be proud. We know we saw a lot of hands that weren't up. All right, good job, good job. See, I can't really do that because I remember my experience where I ran out of gas, where I went on empty. That was when I first started driving. I was about 16 years old, and I was driving home, and I was actually only probably less than a mile away from home. But I was 16 years old, and I didn't really know much about cars, and I'm driving. And then the next thing you know, my car starts sputtering. It starts doing this weird thing. I'm like, what is going on with this thing? So I look, and all of a sudden I see this tank. The light says empty. I'm like, oh, no, this isn't good. But instead of like pulling over to the side of the road, I just let go. I'm like, oh, see, let's go. And then nothing. The thing like dies in the middle of the road. I'm in these back neighborhoods in the middle of the road. People are like driving past me, looking at them like crazy. And I'm wondering what's going on. Like the tank was empty and I was a little bit panicky, right? I was a little bit scared because see, this is really where it hits. Back when I started driving, we didn't have these things called cell phones. So it wasn't really empty. It wasn't really easy to go on empty. I think for many of us, some of you guys are like, yeah, I'll go 7 miles to empty because I got a cell phone. I can call somebody up real fast, right? But back in then, I drove this sweet 1987 Chevy Celebrity station wagon. And let me just say, it did not come stock with a car phone either. Like, that's just not how they rolled. And I would say that there were still cell phones, but they're not like what we know today. They're like the big Zach Morris type of cell phones. You know what I'm talking about. You had to be rich to have one of those during this time period, though. And let me just go back to the point. I drove a 1987 Chevy Celebrity station wagon. So I didn't have one of these phones. I'm 16 years old, running out of gas, car's completely stalled out, and I'm panicking. I'm like, what do I do? In the middle of the road, I don't know what to do. I just froze up. I was scared. I was afraid. And then I'm like, just really irrational about this thought. Well, what's crazy, finally, I kind of came back. I realized, you know what? I'm less than a mile away from home. There's a gas station really close to. I can move my car probably off the side of the road. That way nobody hits me. So I did that. I pushed the car to the side of the road. I walked home, talked my parents into driving me to the gas station with a gas tank, and went back and filled up. But my initial reaction to this emptiness was fear. My initial reaction to this emptiness was confusion. And I think that's what a lot of us do. When we experience emptiness, I think a lot of us, we initially react with confusion. We initially react out of fear. And if we look at the followers of Jesus, we see this exact same response. Today we're going to jump in and we're going to look at the story of Jesus and the empty tomb. And we're going to look at it from two different gospels. And what the gospels are, they're the four accounts of Jesus' life and ministry from four different perspectives. But today we're going to look at both John and Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to John chapter 20. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. It's John chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. And if you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible resource that you can put right on your phone. You can put on your tablet. You can take it with you wherever you go. And listen, we want to challenge you to read your Bible every single day. Don't just read it on a Sunday morning. Don't just read it on Easter Sunday morning, but read it every single day and apply it to your life. And this is an incredible resource where you can take it with you. There's reminders, there's devotionals, there's plans, there's different versions that you can read your Bible daily. We're going to jump into John chapter 20. And what this passage is doing, it's picking up after Jesus had died on the cross. Jesus had been buried, and then Mary Magdalene, one of his followers, was coming to visit the gravesite. And it picks up here in verse 1. It says, early on, the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. Mary goes and sees that this tomb is empty, and it puts her in this state of panic, right? She realizes this tomb is empty, but she has no clue what the empty tomb means at this point. So she's in fear, she's scared, she's afraid, and she runs and tells the other disciples. It continues here in verse 3. It says, so Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Funny little story there. The other disciple was actually John. So, of course, if we're reading from the book of John, John's going to win the foot race, right? We look through this. Continues on. It says, he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. But they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. So they go back. They see this emptiness, right? They experience the emptiness. When they get there, they're running. They had to see it for themselves. Obviously, Peter comes in and he looks in. Yep, empty tomb. You weren't lying, right? Then John, after he gets there first, looks in. Yep, empty. But their reaction was kind of funny. They didn't know what to do. They were kind of confused on how to respond to this. So what do? They do nothing at all. They just go back doing what they were doing, almost ignoring the emptiness, right? Meanwhile, Mary, her response is this complete, kind of almost depression, this complete emotional response where she's weeping and crying. Verse continues on here in verse 11. It says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they put him. This emptiness, it really caused a breakdown. It caused them to panic, to be in fear, and to live afraid. But they were missing the point. They were missing the point of the empty tomb. They were missing the bigger picture. I think many of us can relate to this. I think many of us in our lives, we've experienced emptiness in some way. We may have experienced the loss of someone in our family. We may have experienced a failure of ourselves, right? We experience this emptiness, and our initial response to this emptiness always is somewhat negative, right? Emptiness, for many of us, it leads to this self-pity. For many of us, it leads to depression. Again, it leads to confusion. It leads to us missing the bigger picture. So typically what happens when we experience this emptiness, we try to fill it with something. And too many times we try to fill it with the wrong thing. We try to fill it with the things other than God. We try to fill it with maybe It's just busyness. We might try to fill it with maybe some type of substance that takes some of the pain away. We might try to fill it with some things that just take our focus off, whatever it is. Many times we even try to fill it with depression or whatever it is, we fill it. And oftentimes we're filling it with the wrong things. And we're trying to really overcome this emptiness. We're trying to ignore this emptiness. For many times, this emptiness, it even leads us to become complacent. Because really, emptiness is not something we celebrate, but it's something we try to fix or something we try to ignore. But if you look at Jesus, he changes this up. He changes this way of thinking. He's teaching us and he's telling us that we can learn from emptiness and we can use this emptiness to point towards him every time. He wants to shift our way of thinking from the culture to him. Because the things of this world, they're always going to be empty, but he will always be full. And the truth is, the tomb, it represents death, whereas Jesus is the ultimate representation of life. So if you look at it, the empty tomb leads to the fullness of Christ. And for many of us, I think there's some empty things in our life that is pointing us to Christ, but we need to respond the right way. This is what I want you to understand. When we walk out of here today, I want you to understand the emptiness. The empty tomb is what leads to the fullness of Christ. The empty tomb is what displays the promises of God. It's what displays the promises of Christ to each and every one of us, which is to restore us with God. Jesus came and lived a perfect life because none of us could. Because we're all messed up, because we've all sinned, because we all have this emptiness, which is sin and causes a separation from God. But Jesus came and lived a perfect life for each and every one of us, died on a cross and paid the penalty, which is death, that each and every one of us deserved. But that wasn't the end of the story. The end of the story is the fact that death is now empty. The tomb is now empty. Jesus was resurrected. He was risen again to give us new life so that we could experience God. So we can experience a relationship with God. In fact, this is why when we pick this story up in the account of Matthew, it reads this way. If you go with me to Matthew 28, we're going to read verses 5 and 6. It says this. It says, "The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.'" He is risen just as he said he would. This is the fulfillment of his promise. This is the fulfillment of God's promise to us. The tomb, death, is empty because Jesus is life. Death couldn't hold him down. In fact, Jesus overcame death. This is the good news. This is why we celebrate Easter. But this promise, it goes beyond Easter. It goes with us every single day. It's a promise for each and every one of us every day in our life. It's a promise of fullness. Now think about that. Imagine the fullness of Christ in your life every single day. Imagine the parts of your life that you look at and you see and you say they're dead. Imagine them being restored because of the fullness of Christ. Imagine the things in your life that are confusing. Imagine the things that you look at and you see are hopeless. Imagine having clarity and hope in each situation. Imagine your weeping being turned into joy. Imagine your struggles, whether it's in your marriage, your workplace, your finances, whatever this. Imagine those being turned into victories. Imagine your sin. Imagine your mistakes, your messes. Imagine those being completely forgiven. And not only completely forgiven, but completely forgotten. That's the fullness of Christ. And that's why the empty tomb is so important. The empty tomb leads to the fullness of Christ. And God wants us to experience this fullness. He wants each and every one of us to experience this. And I want you to today. I want you to experience it more than just on Easter morning, but I want you to experience it every single morning. To live this out, this is what we do. Number one, we have to not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I think our initial response to emptiness is always fear. Again, if you look at the followers of Jesus, what do? They responded in fear. But the angel came to Mary in verse 5 and says, "Do not be afraid." And then not only did the angel say this, Jesus came back, showed up, was in presence with Mary, and he confirmed this as well. In Matthew 28, verses 9, it says, "Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, worshiped him, and then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" To experience the fullness of Christ, we can't live in fear, and nor should we live in fear. See, we fear emptiness. But what is truly empty is death because of Jesus. So here's how we overcome fear. Here's how we're not going to be afraid. Number one, we have to stay rational. In our lives, we have to stay rational. Again, going back to me running out of gas, like I'm a 16-year-old kid. I actually became a little irrational. Imagine that, a 16-year-old kid ever becoming irrational. I look back at it now. I definitely wasn't then, but I look back at it now, and I was. I became irrational. I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, this is the end of it. This is never going to happen. I'm going to be stuck on this little road for the rest of my life, right? But the truth is, I had to step back and realize I'm less than a mile away from home. All I got to do is move my car over and start walking, right? I had to become rational. I had to call it what it was. I had to call the empty tank of gas an empty tank of gas, and that's it. And when we look at it, we need to call the empty tomb an empty tomb. There's things in our life right now that we feel are dead and done, but what it is an empty tomb. There are things that God wants us to have dead and done in our life because it needs to lead us to Him. We need to call the things in our life that's a tomb, a tomb. We need to stay rational to overcome fear. Think about it in your life. What are some things in your life that maybe you're a little bit panicked about, that maybe you're a little bit irrational about? Whether it's in your home, your workplace, your finances, what is it? There's something that you could probably step back from, look at from a different perspective, and then you could settle that and look at it and say, you know, I'm going to be rational. I'm going to call it a tomb, a tomb. To overcome fear, we have to stay rational. And then we also have to focus on the outcome and not the obstacle. If you look at the followers of Jesus, they were focused on the obstacle. They were focused on the tomb. But the outcome was the resurrection. But as the followers of Jesus, as they focused on the tomb, what they experienced? They experienced pain. They experienced panic. They experienced sorrow. They experienced confusion. They experienced fear. But when they focused on the outcome, when they had this experience of Jesus, right? The fact that Jesus was alive, all that went away. All the fear was gone. Think about right now, what's your obstacle in your life? What are you going through right now? That's just an obstacle, but not the outcome. I want to challenge you to focus in on the outcome. To experience the fullness of Jesus, we can't live in fear. Don't be afraid of your past. Don't let your past become an obstacle. I think I talk to people quite a bit, and a lot of times I hear this over and over again. I can't do this because of my past, right? I'm never going to make this. This is how I'm kind of designed to be. If you only knew what I went through, this is why I work and why I function this way, right? I can't do this because of my past. But what your past is an obstacle. It's not your outcome. Too many times we fear our past. We fear our past mistakes, and we think that they unqualify us for our future outcome. We live in fear because of our past failures. But our past failures are not our outcome. The truth is we're not rational. The truth is we're focusing in on the obstacle. Don't be afraid of the emptiness experience. Don't be afraid of the failures that you've experienced. You might be here today and you've had a failed marriage. You may be here today and you've had failed finances. You may be here today, you've even failed in your workplace. Maybe you've even been fired before, but that emptiness is not you. That emptiness is a path that leads to the fullness of Christ. You are an overcomer through Christ. Stay rational. Focus on the outcome and not the obstacle. And understand your past as your past. Focus on what could be because of Christ. Do not be afraid. To experience the fullness of Christ, we can't live in fear. And then number two, says we have to come and see. To experience this fullness, we have to be honest about experiencing our own emptiness. Emptiness is something we all go through, right? Emptiness is something we all experience, and too many times I don't think we even acknowledge it. Too many times I think we brush it under the rug or we try to ignore it and we don't let it lead us back to God. Even this past week, I look at my own life, and there's some times I felt empty. There's some things I was struggling with. There's some things that I was listening to. As far as negative talk coming in my life, right, there's some things that just made me just break down thinking, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. Why should I even try to do this, right? I'm going to be honest. Like, this is where I was. I'm struggling with some of these thoughts this week. It's just really a feeling of emptiness, a feeling of emptiness that I'm looking to. And I could either ignore it. I could either try to fill it with something else. But what really did, and I began to pray. I broke down a number of times. I fell to my knees and just started praying to God and giving Him everything. I had to allow Him to take all my weaknesses. I had to allow Him to take all my past failures, all my struggles, and I had to seek after His fullness. Because my own human flesh, my own way of doing it, is always empty. We have to come and see and experience our own emptiness before we can experience His fullness. This is why the angel says in Matthew 28:6, says, He's not here. He has risen just as He said. Come and see the place where He lay. Too many times I think we look at this verse and we never get to the come and see. I mean, if you look at this verse, this is really the beginning of Christianity, right? This is the verse that really makes Jesus different than any spiritual leader that ever lived. The fact that He is risen just as He said. But it continues on. It says, come and see the place where He lay. Come and see the place where He lay. Because it's straight up empty. We need to experience the emptiness in our life. For us to understand the fullness of Christ, we need to understand the emptiness of ourselves. For us to experience the fullness of Christ, we need to experience the emptiness of ourselves. Jesus taught this over and over again. Jesus taught this. He said, be meek. He said, be humble. He taught all these different things while He was on earth, and His resurrection even displays it again. We have to come and see, and we have to acknowledge our emptiness. We have to call it what it is. Again, if you go back to my 1987 Celebrity Station Wagon, the tank was empty. Listen, I could have been here 20 years later still trying to turn it over that, right? No, this isn't empty. This is going to go, right? This is going to go. I finally had to realize, I had to look at the gauge and say, it's empty. I had to call it what it was. I had to experience that. And there's some things in our life that we need to acknowledge are empty. There's some things in our life that we need to say, you know what, instead of trying to fix it myself, instead of trying just to hide the fact that this is an empty area of my life, instead of trying to cover everything up, we need to use it to point us to His fullness. Don't try to fix it yourself. Don't try to fill it yourself, but acknowledge it and allow it to point you to God. God's not waiting for you to find another way to fill a void in your life. He's waiting for you to receive the fulfillment He's already made available to you. Without Him, we're always going to be empty, but we never have to be empty because of Him. Come and see. Acknowledge the emptiness in our lives. And then number three, go and tell. To experience the fullness in Christ, we have to share our experience. We have to share our emptiness. Although it's sometimes tough to admit that, you know what, we can't do it on our own. But the truth is, none of us can. Before any of us were saved, before any of us made a decision to follow Jesus, we had a void in our life. We had an emptiness, and we need to share that with others because so many people are experiencing that same void, and they're just waiting for somebody to relate to them. So we have to go and tell. You see here in verse 7, it says, then go quickly and tell His disciples, He has risen from the dead, and He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him. The angel's talking to Mary here. And what's interesting is he says, if you go and tell, then you will experience Jesus. The angels tell Mary, if you go and tell, then you will experience His fullness. When we share our story, we share our emptiness, then we experience His fullness. And if you think about me running out of gas, I had to go tell somebody, right? In order for me to get a full tank of gas, I had to go and tell. I had to leave the car, go back home, grab a gas can, tell my parents, hey, I need to go to the gas station. Then I needed to go to the gas station, tell the clerk, yep, I need some gas. And then, only then, when I went and told, when I was willing to go share that experience with others, did I experience the fullness. The same is true with Christ. We have to go and share in order for us to experience Jesus. And also, when we share, it allows others to experience Jesus as well. In verse 10, it continues on, it says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. When we share, others will experience the fullness of Christ as well. When we share our story, when we share our emptiness, it leads to His fullness. I think one of the greatest ways to tell others about our emptiness and our fullness is really an act of obedience to what Jesus says to do when we first make a decision to follow Jesus, which is baptism. And today we're going to celebrate baptism. And what baptism is, it illustrates Jesus' burial and resurrection. And it illustrates those who made a decision to follow Him. It illustrates their new life as a Christian. It's an outward sign of an inward commitment. And it's an incredible example of dying to our old self. It's an incredible example of dying to our own old emptiness and being risen again and made new with Christ. And it's a command of Jesus. In Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He wants us to experience His fullness, and He wants others to experience His fullness through us. And we can do that by going and telling. My challenge for you today is not to be afraid. My challenge for you today is to come and see, experience and acknowledge your own emptiness, and then go and tell. Today we celebrate an empty tomb because the empty tomb leads to the fullness of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for speaking to us. God, we thank you that because of an empty tomb, God, your promises are fulfilled. Because of an empty tomb, it can lead to your fullness, God. And we thank you right now for sharing that with us. God, I pray that in our lives, God, we will not walk in fear. God, I pray that we will listen to you when you say, do not be afraid. God, and I pray that we can stay rational in our lives, God. And I pray that we can focus on the outcome and not the obstacle. God, I pray that you just do an incredible work in us, God, that you will move us to the point, God, where we can experience your fullness, God. Where we can experience your fullness because we acknowledge our own emptiness. And then, God, I pray that we share it with others. God, I pray that we share it with others so that we can experience more of it. That we can experience more of you and that others can experience you as well. God, we love you and we thank you. Give this to you right now. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.